I think an ICP has to be actionable for both your sales and marketing teams for it to really be effective. In general, simpler and elegant is often better to go for. So if you have the option to have a single ideal customer profile that everyone can get on board with, that is really easy to share the messaging out and around. You only have to enable one message across your entire team. But if you're choosing to have different ICPs for different products or for different segments, then you have to be really intentional about your enablement strategies.
You are listening to This is Product Marketing, brought to you by Product Marketing Hive, a product marketing community that gives back. Product Marketing Hive and this podcast are supported by Product Marketing Edge, a technology product marketing consulting firm. In this episode, Ashley Lichtenberger shares her thoughts on building an ideal customer profile. Let's dive into it. Hi, Ashley. Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Louise. It's great to be here today. I'm really excited to join you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get into product marketing?
You know, I was really lucky and I fell into product marketing at the very beginning of my career, almost without even realizing it. So I started my career as an education consultant for a consulting company called EAB that works with colleges and universities. And my first job there was actually not to be assigned to a research project, but to find a new research vertical and a new buyer for them to sell syndicated research memberships to. So essentially what I was doing was running a new product launch for the first time. I oversaw researching your buyer customer profiles. I oversaw looking into different buyers and who was the right person that could be interested in the services that they had to offer, running their first beta program of their first research forum in the space, and running and building the sales and enablement assets that let the team actually go send boots on the ground and actually get people to buy into the membership. And we were really lucky because the research forum that we launched, the facilities forum, ended up being one of the most profitable forums in its first year. So that was when I dipped my toe into product marketing. And since then, I've been in it ever since, and it's been about 10 years.
That's great. It sounds like you're natural for product marketer.
I'm really lucky that I found it early on in my career and that I really enjoy the problem sets that you get to work on in product marketing. I think it's so dynamic and it's so interesting and it's always changing. And it just makes it a really fun job to come into every single day.
Glad to hear that. So head of segment marketing at Lattice, can you tell us a little bit more about your role and responsibilities?
Yeah, absolutely. So at Lattice, product and segment marketing are really closely related. Each product marketer is going to be responsible for the positioning, messaging, competitive intelligence, and launches for specific products within our platform. So, you know, a very traditional product marketing role. Our segment marketing team takes a more holistic view, and we look at our entire platform and we create differentiated messaging and positioning and sales and enablement resources for selling into different industries, different regions, and to different buyer personas. So we're less connected to the product team and we're much more integrated in the sales and the marketing teams. One of the things that you'll notice is that this isn't necessarily the same at every single company, depending on how they're structured and what their priorities are and what their business size is. So for example, at a really large company that's very product driven, you might see PMMs take on this role of segment marketing and you would have a product marketer for the healthcare industry or a product marketer for the enterprise clients. But if you're at a sales-led company or if you're at a smaller to mid-sized company, you're more likely to see it broken out in the way that we have at Lattice, where you have a product marketing team that's really focused a little bit more upstream and then a segment marketing team that's focused a little bit more on those downstream go-to-market activities.
Tell us, how did you make the transition from product marketing to segment marketing?
Yeah, really good question. When I joined Lattice, they didn't have a segment marketing team. And so I joined as a product marketer. But because I had experience from a previous role customizing positioning and messaging and doing campaigns based on different industries, I worked with the CMO and we made launching Lattice's segment marketing team part of my growth plan. And this is something that I think is really important. And I wanted to take a moment to just talk about that. And that's putting together a growth plan and having skip-level conversations. You see, a growth plan really tells you and your manager what it is in terms of the skills that you want to develop, what career aspirations you have, and it can help them support you on your path to learning and growing. And those skip-level conversations, what they do is they give you insight into what your executives care about and what their top priorities are. And if you can combine the two where you can share in your skip level conversations where you want to grow, you can start aligning where your professional goals are with where the company goals are. And that can be a huge career accelerator.
Helpful tips. Thank you for sharing. I know today our topic is ideal customer profile. In your opinion, why is it important or strategic initiative to find the right ideal customer profile? Can you start by sharing what is your definition of an ideal customer profile?
That is a great place to start. For me, your ideal customer profile is what you use to precisely define who experiences the most value from your product. So in many ways, marketing is about casting a wide net. But when it comes to your messaging, you really want to speak to a narrow audience about their specific problems. If you try to appeal to everybody, you're going to end up appealing to no one. And so your ideal customer profile, or your ICP, helps you avoid that pitfall by identifying the people who experience the most value from your product and therefore will be your biggest product evangelists. And if you can define your ICP, then you can give your go-to-market teams a very clear set of criteria to identify high-quality leads and help them craft effective messaging that really speaks to the pain points of their prospects. So at a former company that I worked at, EAB, the education consulting company, they sold a student advising CRM to colleges and universities. And they ran an ICP analysis. And what they realized was that it wasn't the small elite institutions who have a lot of budget, to be quite frank. It's larger public institutions where your advisor caseload is over 100 students to one advisor, because it's getting a little bit unmanageable for that advisor to know everybody by name, to know their records, to be able to actually reach out and effectively take preventative steps to ensure that those students stay in school and succeed. Once they realized that their sweet spot was actually these large public institutions, and they pivoted to focus their sales team really on that growing market, they started to see significant success and increases in their revenue.
Great example, great point. You led the initiative of updating the ideal customer profile at Lattice. Can you tell us a little bit more about it? And then what was the context? Why did you need to update the ideal customer profile?
Yeah, we ran this initiative for two reasons. First, no one could remember the last time an ICP analysis had been run. It just wasn't in the context of our employee history. We knew that our buyer personas were at least 3 years old, but we didn't know what research they had been based on. And so we weren't really sure how valid they were, and we knew that they were out of date anyway. Secondly, we also knew that since 2020, which was the last time those personas had been updated, our platform had changed significantly. We launched three new products. Our existing ones also had a bunch of features that were added to them to make them grow in maturity and help them expand to new audiences. And so we were marketing a meaningfully different product today than we were 2 or 3 years ago. And with such a rapidly evolving product, we knew that we were due for an update on our ICP analysis. So our people management platform is what we developed the ICP analysis for, where we're looking at who's going to buy the majority of our products or buy our entire platform, and where do we have the most success with that. But that is a strategic decision. We could have run separate ICP analyses for each of our individual products, but because our company's strategy is to sell our entire platform as often as we can, that was where I focused my initiative.
How often should product marketers revisit their ideal customer profile?
Well, Louise, I think there are a few critical triggers to indicate that it's time to rerun your analysis. And for me, those are, first of all, your product velocity. How much has your product meaningfully changed? Are you marketing something different to your audience? And if it's meaningfully different, then you probably need to make sure that you're still marketing to the correct audience. The next one is going to be competitive landscape. Are you suddenly losing ground to a competitor? And if so, who is it that's leaving or choosing not to purchase your product? And more importantly, who's choosing to stay and why? Third, I think the macroeconomic environment is really important to keep an eye on. If that's shifted, then the people who used to buy your product may still be buying your product, or they may not be. You might have more opportunity and more traction someplace else. And so being able to run this analysis is really going to be based on, you know, if one of those factors are at play, and if two or three or more of them is at play, then it's definitely time to update your analysis. But if you want to have like a specific time frame, I might say that a fast-growing company is probably going to need to run this analysis on an annual basis, especially if you're experiencing hypergrowth on the product development side. Whereas if you're an established market leader, you can probably wait to run this analysis every 2 to 3 years.
When defining the right ideal customer profile, what are the resources that you considered?
Companies can choose to work with external consultants to run the actual analysis out of house, or you can work with third-party vendors and pull market data in to inform your ICP analysis. But To be totally frank, we didn't actually have the extra budget to dedicate to an external resources like that. It simply wasn't an option for us. So instead, what we did was we chose to leverage our internal data to identify our ideal customer profile. Specifically, we chose to leverage our marketing, our sales, and our customer data to understand who was interested in our product, who was buying our product, and then who was it that was renewing or expanding their contracts with us. An ICP will tell you what is happening, but it doesn't necessarily tell you why it's happening. And then from there, what you can do is you can take that data and you can start diving into it to understand the why behind what's happening with things like customer interviews and some landscape research and some win-loss conversations where you can talk in more detail with your sales team or your customer success team to understand trends around what's happening. So for example, at Lattice, we structure our sales teams by company size. We have our small business team, our medium business team, and our enterprise team for large companies. And what we found was that professional services companies performed really well for our small business sales teams because they needed an out-of-the-box solution, whereas our larger professional services companies often needed more customized solutions. And what we knew was from our ICP analysis was that professional services was performing well for one team and not for another, but we had to look into the data. We had to talk to our sales reps. We had to understand why folks were churning away from our product to understand the why behind that difference. And that was really great feedback for our product team. For me, the data pull was the hardest part because there are so many data fields that you could use as inputs. It's really easy to accidentally use the wrong term in the right field or the right term in the wrong field. And that can really lead your data query astray. We use a business intelligence platform called Looker, which aggregates your data from various different places, from your product, from your CRM, from your marketing automation software. And so you can have hundreds, if not thousands, of different data points that you're trying to reference. And knowing which ones are the right ones to pull is really critical. So what I did is I worked really closely with the folks who use our business intelligence platform the most and worked with them to define, here's what I'm looking for, and had them actually do the data pull for me so that I knew that I was getting the right information to then format and analyze.
I see. Let's say if you have three products and then product number two and number three has conflicting ideal customer profile. And then in this case, how would you tackle it?
Lattice actually had that example where, you know, the ICP for small business sales teams was different than the ICP for our enterprise sales team. And when that happens, you have to take the decision to either choose which one is going to be your general ICP, which one is more important, and you can weight that based on how much business is coming from different product areas or different sales segments. Or what you can do is you can decide to bifurcate your messaging and say, no, what we are going to do because we have the resources and because it's the right thing to do is we're going to have separate dedicated messaging for our small business team, and we're going to have a separate dedicated messaging for our enterprise teams. And you're going to be able to use those different ICPs for each one. The same thing is true for products. So if product A does really well with audience yellow and product B does really well with audience purple, you might have specific marketing campaigns and go-to-market motions for those yellow and purple audiences. In general, simpler and elegant is often better to go for. So if you have the option to have a single ideal customer profile that everyone can get on board with, that is really easy to share the messaging out and around. You only have to enable one message across your entire team. But if you're choosing to have different ICPs for different products or for different segments, then you have to be really intentional about your enablement strategies. And you have to be very clear with your assets and your messaging exactly which ICP is targeted for what groups and what audiences. That way, you can enable around multiple ICP analyses. You just have to be super clear that you are doing multiple messaging streams. And it can get a little bit harder in terms of adoption because it can be a little bit more complex to teach and for your go-to-market teams, your marketing and your sales teams to pick up on.
I think another main thing is to make sure that you have enough resources to go after multiple ICP before.
Yeah. I think that's right. I think the other thing you really have to think about is how big is your product marketing or your segment marketing team? How big is your marketing and your sales team? Do you have the capacity to run differentiated ICP analyses and to enable and to push those out to your teams? Or is going for one general ICP going to be the most impactful because of where you are from a resourcing and a bandwidth perspective?
Can you share some helpful tips to fellow product marketers for collaborating with other functions or other parts of the company on developing ideal customer profile?
Yeah, that's a really wonderful question. I think this is something where getting buy-in early and often is really important. So sharing the message around to as many folks as you can that you're running this analysis is really great before you even start getting things off the ground. So it's really helpful to let the rest of the marketing team know that you're about to run this ICP analysis and that you're going to let your sales team and your customer success team and your product team know that this work is coming down the pipeline. And what that will do is it could uncover some opportunities for synergy. For example, when it came to following up on our ICP analysis, our user research team was able to partner with us on customer calls to be able to learn a little bit more and dig a little bit deeper. And that was super helpful for us. So starting early and often and just letting folks know what you're doing and what the status is of the project, so that then when you go to share the results out, they're not hearing about the initiative for the first time and they're already bought into and they're curious to hear what you have to say.
How do you ensure that your sales and marketing teams are aligned with the ideal customer profile that you developed?
Oh, see, that is the million-dollar question. And for me, it's all about developing a strategy that aligns your marketing and your sales teams with one another. So craft a strategy that aligns the teams and makes them work together. For example, yes, start by running a marketing campaign to get inbound leads, but don't forget to also create templates so that your sales reps can run an outbound initiative as well. And on top of that, make sure that your SDR teams, your business development representatives, are equipped with discovery questions so that in those initial calls, they can ensure the leads that they are passing on are solid ones. By bringing in different teams and working on your marketing and your sales pipeline simultaneously, what you're going to see is a compounding impact, and you're going to really start to see your initiative delivering value.
How do you measure the effectiveness?
That's a really interesting question. What you can do is you can look at specific data points, like your, you can start with your marketing pipeline and go all the way through your sales pipeline down to your retention and renewal pipeline. And the metrics that I would really focus on are three things. First of all, what does your marketing pipeline of inbound leads look like? Who is that composed of? Do you have a large group of professional services companies, or do you have a large group of people of companies from South America coming in and purchasing your product? Is there a specific language that's getting requested the most? Starting to look at your marketing pipeline and see where there's interest is your first indicator of where there might be good product market fit. But you need to follow up on that. And so the next step is going to be to take a look at your sales pipeline and see where are you actually winning business? And is it in those same places where you're seeing market interest early on in your funnel? Or is there actually another group that tends to end up closing the most business with you? Who is that? And then finally, while those two things are really important indicators, where the money really is in retentions and renewals, because it costs so much more to acquire a new client than it does to retain and expand an existing one. So you also want to be double checking at the end of your pipeline of your customer experience, who's renewing your contracts, who's expanding their contracts with you, what are the indicators of those teams? And from there, you can actually take a look across your entire pipeline and start to understand where you're seeing success and where you might be seeing some false flags that you shouldn't be following up on.
Thank you for sharing. Any final thoughts that you would like to share with our fellow product marketers?
I do have one final thought. I think we've really covered the nuts and bolts of running an ICP analysis. So my final thoughts would be to give you some advice on how to build on that ICP by updating your buyer personas. And maybe this is something we talk about in a future podcast, maybe not. But in a nutshell, your ICP is going to tell you what companies you should target, while a buyer persona really digs into the people who are making the purchase decision. Your ICP might be small tech companies in North America, for example, but your buyer persona is going to be the CEO or the CIO or the head of people who's actually making the purchase decision. And being able to use your ICP to inform your buyer personas is going to make them that much more accurate and that much more effective.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It's been really wonderful to be on your show.
Thank you for tuning in to This is Product Marketing, brought to you by Product Marketing Hive, a product marketing community that gives back. Check out our website, productmarketinghive.com, to join our community meet fellow product marketers, and access free resources. If you enjoyed our podcast, please subscribe and give a 5-star rating on the platform of your choice. See you next time.